good afternoon, everyone, or good evening, everyone. Excuse me. It is April 17th, 2018, 6:13 p.m. I'm Terry Tackett, your announcer, and you are listening to The Pastor Spot, a radio ministry of Community Christian Fellowship. I'll turn it over now to the host of our show, Pastor Steve Whitaker. Hello, Steve.
Hey, how are you? Good to be here tonight. Yeah, I'm Pastor Steve Whitaker from Community Christian Fellowship. We are at 209 East Water Street in Prospect, Ohio, and love to have you come some Sunday. Our phone number there is 740-494-2222, and we are at prospectccf.com. But it's great to be here. Couple things real quick. One, I'm sorry I missed last week. We had to have a fill-in show. I, like a lot of people, been trying to get rid of some of this allergy stuff or whatever it is, but you probably couldn't have understood me. But I want to invite you tonight to call in. Of course, the number here is 740-383-9944 or 740-383-WGH. And if you are going to call in at any time with any questions, we are a friendly talk show, and just want to give you a heads up. If you call in to complain or anything of that nature, we will cut you off. So anyway, we're here tonight, and a great night it is. It's nice to see that I looked at the weather forecast, and I saw that coming up the weekend, we might get some warm weather back. I'll tell you what, I have been freezing the last couple of days. Last Sunday in the pulpit, I told everyone it was, you know, it was kind of short weather the week before, and I said, man, I put on a pair of shorts, and I'm not going back to any long pants the rest of the summer, of course, in church, but beyond that. And boy, did I lie. The long pants are back. But hey, it's great to be here. And last time we were talking about a subject that we were talking about gifted children, if you remember right. And I wanted to follow up on that a little bit more and talk a little bit further. And for those of you that weren't following that week and have not heard the show on the in the archives, we were talking about the fact that all children are gifted. And sometimes when we label certain kids as gifted, it inadvertently, and there's a little bit of collateral damage there with other kids that are around that hear it, that maybe think, well, I'm not gifted. What's wrong with me? And I understand the term gifted is specific educationally to kids that are excelling in certain areas. And that's wonderful. There's nothing wrong with the programs we do, the things we do, but maybe we could call it something a little different that isn't so almost elitist. And I think that we have wonderful children out there. You know, something I brought up in the last show that's kind of interesting. I was thinking about our past presidents, and I thought, I am going to look up and see what the education of those presidents were. Because anyone knows that no matter what your politics are, what president you liked or didn't like, just to achieve the highest office in the land is an unbelievable undertaking. And you've got to have some chutzpah to do it in the first place, right? And you've got to have a little bit behind you. So obviously, you would think that they would have credentials that were just a mile long. And, you know, that's not really the case. It was very interesting. Of all of our presidents that we've had in history, there have only been 10 of them that really had what you would call higher education. And I'm talking about, in today's thinking, along the PhD line or, you know, a master's and up. There's only been 10 of them. And of those 10, some of them had education that they didn't even finish. You know, they may have gone to law school and didn't finish, or a business school and didn't finish. But I found that interesting. There were several of them that actually had no formal education whatsoever. And some of them, as late as, you know, everyone knows that Abraham Lincoln was a lawyer. What most people don't know is that Abraham Lincoln only had 1 year of formal education in his life. So we know that education is the key to so much in opening doors today. But there's other parts of our life and who we are that make us special people, don't you think? I was reading the other day the story of Charles Schulz. You guys know who Charles Schulz is? He wrote the Peanuts comic strip. And it was interesting because Schulz in school was always somebody that was picked last at everything. He was someone that quite didn't measure up grade-wise or anything else. He just never quite met the mark of other people. He could be funny, and people thought he was funny sometimes, but he never even could get his comedic writing off the ground. Everything seemed to always fail for him. He was not what anyone would ever consider today a gifted child, but he was. And he started the Peanuts comic strip on a little boy called Charlie Brown based on the life experiences of Charles Schulz. And look at the look at the lives that were touched. And it's still, it's a Thanksgiving tradition, a Christmas tradition, all those shows, the Charlie Brown Christmas and Halloween, and just to this day, there's just one small example. And I think that we have to be careful with kids that we make sure they know they're special. If I can make an appeal tonight to anyone that's listening, if you have a child that's maybe your child, your grandchild, a child you babysit, a student in class, whatever that relationship is, I encourage you to let them know that they're special. In whatever way it is, they're little. You'll see a smile from ear to ear if you tell them you're proud of them. I try this out on kids. Sometimes I substitute on the school bus. I'm a pastor. So what are you doing on the school bus? I love kids, and I substitute in the school, and I ride the bus with kids sometimes, and when they need an aid on the bus, I'll be on there. And when someone's ill or can't be there, I just like to be there. I like to be around young people. I like to be around different people. And some of those kids you see that aren't real happy, they don't seem real happy. You know, and when you can say something, boy, I like your shoes. Those are nice shoes. Did you just get those? You know, or, oh, that's a beautiful picture you drew. And you see their face light up. Folks, I got to tell you something. It's not that hard. Do you remember when the little children in the Bible came to Jesus? And even the disciples said, let's come on, kids, you don't want these kids up here. No. He says, suffer the little children to come unto me, because such of these are the kingdom of God. You know, Jesus called them all up right to his lap. There's something special about a child. They're very vulnerable. They'll believe anything you tell them when they're little, if they trust you. So therefore, that puts a responsibility back on us, doesn't it? Puts a responsibility on us to nurture them, to guide them, to teach them, to protect them. Of all things, protect them. But let every child know that they're special. We have a program at the church. It's on. It's the third Thursday of every month, from 6:30 to 8 o'clock, where parents with kids from age 3 all the way to 6th grade can drop their kids off at church. And we have a thing called Team Kid. And there's some opening exercises and songs. And then they do some crafts and have a snack time. But it's so nice to see those kids come in from, some of them don't go to church. Some of them they don't get that. And when they come in, they have a great time and they feel special. And it's wonderful to be able to do that. We had two girls in the church. I'm going to drop their names. Lauren Van Gundy and Sarah Wasserbeck. They're both seniors this year at Elgin. And this year, they decided to do something they'd done one time before. And it's a little girls' day. And they did it Sunday at 2 o'clock. And it was for girls from 2nd through 5th grade, I believe it was. And the kids come in, and they have a time in the sanctuary where they come in and they sing, and they have a little program. And then they go back, and other ladies came in, and a lot of different ladies came in, and they did hair and nails and a pretty little princess lunch and just things to make these kids feel special. And what a wonderful thing to do. You think, Pastor, this is the pastor's spot. What does this have to do with the church? I have to tell you, it has everything to do with the church. We need to show people we care and we love them. And not because it's a duty, not because we want a pat on the back, not because we have an agenda to achieve. We need to do it because we truly love them in our heart, and that love comes through Christ, who we believe in. He shares that love with us. And we need to be doing more of that. You know, I know that there's mixed feelings about the way society today has kind of put the role of the church in a backseat role, like it doesn't need to be on the forefront. And because of that, we have lost so much ability to reach so many kids and to have young people grow up and know that there's others outside of the home even that care about them. And I know you parents at home care about your kids, but I think you would have to agree with me. There's a lot of hurting kids out there. There's a lot of kids that don't know where mom and dad are tonight. They don't know where they're going to sleep, whether it's a grandparent or a relative or a friend. And it's a sad state of affairs that we kind of let our society drift into. You know, we're supposed to be progressing as a society, but when I look at the shape of people personally and psychologically, it seems like we're really regressing. And as a pastor, I can't help but see a correlation between that and the removal of God from so much of society.
With those children that are like that, you know, that you said, you know, maybe don't know where mom and dad are or anything, do you think a lot of times that those are the kids that act out in school because they're crying out for attention because they don't know where mom and dad are and, you know, and things like that?
Or? Yeah, it's funny, Terry. I'm hearing you, and I agree with you, but I want to add to that. There's a lot to that. There's a number of reasons those kids are acting out. One being certainly that they don't have sure footing at home. They may be not being treated well at home. They may also a situation, maybe they haven't had anything to eat. You know, the schools are great now at providing a breakfast for these kids that don't, because I'm telling you what, they need it. And I know we have a program with a church where we provide lunches for kids on lower income for the weekends. It's called a backpack. And that's part of the reason for it. A lot of these kids don't know what's at home over the weekend. But I think a lot of it is nutrition. I think a lot of it is nutrition as they've been growing. A lot of it is lack of attention, lack of treatment, dysfunction in the home. You know, if you have a child that's screamed at constantly at home and never shown any love, what are you expecting back like at school? And let me tell you, I know a lot of school teachers, and I've got them in my own family. And I've seen teachers' hearts break for these kids, and you can only go so far with them. You can't take them all home. And it's a tough society out there. But I truly believe, and I believe this from the bottom of my heart, we as a society have an obligation, whether they're children that are biologically in our family or where they're from, to care about the children and love them. Jesus gave us that example. He truly did. And we need to be caring about these young people and these kids. You know, there's a lot of neat groups out there. There's and there goes my mind. I just forgot the name of it. Anyway, there's After School Club, kids after school Bible Club, that is in most of the schools in Marion, I think. And they teach a lot of, they have kids after school one day a week and for an hour or so, and they teach them. There's also the schools have got some great programs they're doing now where they're letting kids stay after school, and they have an after school time. It's called SOARS, where they teach them not S-O-R-E-S, but S-O-A-R-S. There's more of those American words that you got to make sure you spell them out. To teach the kids to soar, give them new programs, a lot of different things they're teaching them. I know there were some girls learning how to crochet in one of the classes, and kids are turning a lot of different value-based things that are giving them confidence. The schools are really trying hard to implement these things, and that is to catch a lot of these kids left behind. And I know they bring in outside business and teaching volunteers for that. In most of the schools, just look in your – call your school and ask, hey, is there any program that I can get involved in to help with these kids? Of course, you're going to have to do a background check. Today, that's a must in everything, you know, even in the church when you're working with kids. It's unfortunate we've got to that, but it's good that we do it. And but, you know, just to be able to work with these kids, spend time with them. One of the things we started in our church was a model train club. A dear friend in the church, a fellow that lived here in Marion for many, many years, David Grace. David was part of the Marion Model Train Club. very active in that. And he came up to me one day and he said, I've just been trying to think of stuff I can do to get kids involved with something today. Because it used to be, if you think about it, kids that maybe weren't mainstream, they got into things like stamp collecting, coin collecting. You remember that? All that kind of stuff kids were getting. And that used to be a popular thing.
I know when I was younger, too, there was also like baseball cards.
Yes.
And, you know. And
now everything's a screen in front of your face.
Yeah.
And it's really sad because there's some really neat things that are going by the wayside. But David was into model trains and he said, you know, I'll bet that maybe we could. Let's try a model train club. So that's what we did. David, it was right as we were getting this thing off the ground and really starting to roll with it, and he was really starting to enjoy it, David went home to be with the Lord. He had a heart attack and on vacation, and his wife, Jeanette, still has some input in the train club, and you know, some guys have stepped in to pick that up. And but we have these young kids, and most of them, I would have to say, are in the 7, 8, 9, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10 range, and they're loving these HO trains, and they're wanting to build sets and put things together. And we've been to the train shows, and they've been to different things. We've been to the train museum, the Marion County Club, and we're sparking a new interest with these young men. And what's neat about it is, once again, someone say, well, what's that got to do with the church? It has everything to do with the church, because here we are, we have some men that are taking an interest in mentoring these young boys and teaching them those values. And yes, there is a time during it when they have a time of prayer and sharing, and that's something we're going to do. And these boys they're clinging to it, and they love it, and it's growing. It's those kind of things we need to do. We get so caught up in ourselves and in what the norm is. You know, let's go to the mall. Why? Really, why? You know how many good things, I mean, I don't mean to hurt retail out there, I don't mean that. But what I'm saying is, everything we seem to do today, we seem to be a consumer-based society. You know, people work all week to make money, and if they have anything left, so then go spend it on the weekend and start over broke on Monday. I mean, it seems to be the way things go pretty much a lot of the time. But there's so many things that we can spend time with. What's that commercial that's out there where it tells all these things, but an hour spent with that is priceless? Or you've seen the commercial. And it's true. I mean, an hour spent with someone that gives you time.
Well, that's what I was going to interject, because one thing, and once again, I don't know if you would say this, maybe this is the church's responsibility or not, but one thing that I miss growing up is, you know, of course my mom and dad were divorced, and I would like to see some sort of program or a class or something for kids, you know, to maybe get them started on the right foot, to balance a checkbook, to change a tire, to, you know, things like that, you know, maybe to change their own oil, something like that, you know, I mean.
Absolutely, I know.
And I'm not saying, you know, that the church should be their responsibility to do that, but I'd like to see just general things to get kids started on the right foot, you know, I mean, once they get out of school.
Now, you guys just heard what Terry said, right? So now I'm putting it out there to you. If there's a man listening or a woman listening that is a good mechanic, knows some of these things,
I know I would have loved to learn, because I didn't learn that. I, you know, they got divorced early, and I just never had a father. You know what I mean?
Yeah, absolutely.
You know, and
I'm going to encourage you right now to go to your church Sunday and say, pray about it first. See if it's something you really want to do, and if you can, and go to your church and say, you know what, maybe this will be a neat thing we could do. I'm just telling you, these things, like you said, they're important. This summer, you know, we have kids going to summer camp, which is, summer camp is great for kids. And another thing we're doing this summer is our association, which is State Convention of Baptists in Ohio, is having a thing called Ohio Changers. Now, the National Association has a program they do called World Changers, where they'll pick a city and they'll go in and they'll work with the city building department, and they'll go into ends of town that need a lot of work. And they'll get people to volunteer materials. Sometimes some of the some of the huge crate stores and whatnot, lumber yards, and they get people to volunteer, and they'll go in and they'll take a group of high school kids and they'll work an area for a solid week, and they'll build porches and paint houses, and great learning experience. I ran five crews here in South Columbus several years ago, but we're going to do Ohio Changers this year, and this year we're going to be headed to West Jefferson, Ohio. We're either going to stay in West Jefferson and work in London, or vice versa. I think we're going to stay in West Jefferson and work in London. But anyway, we're going to have teens will come out, and they will have a central location. They stay a week. They sleep on cots. They eat. They have a time where they'll get together every night for a worship-type service and a great time amongst all the teens. They've got chaperones. But they're going to go out all week long, and they'll be teamed up with somebody that understands the way around a hammer, a tape measure, and a paintbrush. And they teach these kids for a solid week to volunteer and go into these people's homes and repair the porches, fix the things. And these are things that we can be doing. All these things are positive things. And then to understand why we do them. You know, one thing I don't understand about a lot of the biblical things being taken out of the school. Even if someone is someone that chooses not to believe the Bible, maybe they're an agnostic, maybe they're an atheist. The truth of the matter is, when you look at the Judeo-Christian values that were put into place in our country and in our schools, they work. They work. Do you know that's where we get right and wrong from? Think about it. If you take God out of the equation, where's the wrong? There is no wrong anymore, is there? And all our values are based on that. If you look at our legal system and everything, it is based on, if you look back at some of the old Jewish law, you can pull a lot of, because it was wise counsel. And we should have never taken the wise counsel out of our schools. And we should have understood that we have to be invested in other people's lives. I just picked up one of my new rubber bracelets. You guys that don't know me will find out over time that I love rubber bracelets. And this is our new FCA, Fellowship of Christian Athletes, bracelet this year. We went to the awards banquet in Columbus the other night, and I picked this up. And it says, Jesus first, others second, and myself third, FCA strong. What a motto to live by. Think about that. You put God first in your life, so he leads and he guides you. Then you put others next. Others have to come first, and you put yourself third. And you think about it, Terry, if we kept that model today and we lived by it, do you think we'd have a lot of the problems we have? Well, you know we wouldn't. You know, all of us see that kid in town that needs someone to love him. And unfortunately, we've gotten to the point in town that in our towns that we're afraid to embrace a kid, and rightfully so. It's hard on our generation before us, because you had two types of people, well, more than two, but these two stand out to me. There was the old World War II generation that were some of our fathers and grandfathers, that they were hard-shelled guys. They had buried emotions, and you couldn't even get an I love you out of them. Even though they love you to death, they just... that was them. And there was this other group of people that just loved everybody and wanted to hug everybody and hugged everyone they saw. Man, we can't hug today like we did. I mean, it'll people immediately, you know, what in the world's going on here? And it's sad to me that we've gotten to that place. But I think that we have to get back. If our society is going to survive, I think we've got to get back to some basics. We see what's happened with the drug epidemic. It's insane. You know why they're doing that? You know the problem that people have no hope. Why else would you do that? I was, you know, going back to the gifted people. Last night, I spent the evening with a fella I've known for many, many years, very dear to me. He left high school his senior year with a couple months left because he got mad about something. But he is probably one of the most gifted brilliant people I've ever met in my life.
I got a friend like that myself.
And he has been an alcoholic his entire adult life. He's physically a mess. Sat there the other night while his brother that he lived with committed suicide in the other room because he didn't have any hope either. He was in a lot of pain, older, neuropathy, no hope, I'll just end it. And he did with this other fella, with his brother in the next room. So I look at these people and I think to myself, what is going on? We see it all the time. Where's the hope today? We've got to get hope back. And I think that when we took God out of society, we took a lot of hope right with it. Because God always gives people hope. You know, pick up your Bible and read it. You can read through it and you can see God has an answer to the problems in your lives. God has an answer to the hurts, to the pain, to the anxiety, to everything. It's in there. And it gives us hope. And to know He's there. And when you take that away, people are left kind of flailing, aren't they? If you really think about it. I mean, where are they going to put their hope? What are they going to put their hope in? A job? What if the job goes south? What if athletics? What if that goes south? What if their health goes south? You know what I mean? There was a kid the other night. I call him kid. I shouldn't say that. A young man that spoke at the FCA convention. He was from Buckeye Valley High School. Student athlete. Tore his ACL. It was his freshman year? Really good basketball player. He planned on playing college ball. Came back strong the next year. Came back as a junior, I think. Did really well. Came in the first night of his senior year, he tore that ACL. Was going to be out for 6 months. But you know what? He said, you know what? I knew that wasn't my future. He said, everybody around me was saying, oh, this is so tragic. He said, but for some reason inside, I didn't feel that it was. Even though everyone was saying how bad, I just didn't feel that. And this guy spends the rest of his senior year on the bench in a suit and tie, encouraging his other players and leading Bible studies with them on the weekends, leading FCA in his school. You see what hope does? If that was a kid that all of his hope was in basketball, what might he done? Another example, I know of a fella that I've known in the past that was on his way to an appointment at Annapolis many years ago, was going to play football. He's going to get a football scholarship to play also. Unbelievable athlete. Got really severely injured in a football game. Ended up pretty much a quadriplegic most of his life. There were a lot of brain injuries. And he ended up a severe alcoholic in a basket case. Do you know why? He didn't have that same hope. Everything was based on things he could touch, he could feel. See, God promises to be with us all the time, to walk with us, to be there, even when we don't see Him. And it's hard for someone to understand that hasn't given their life to Christ and understand that relationship as it builds, because you will know His presence when you do, and it gives you that hope. And, you know, the poorest child can have that hope. It's a great equalizer because He creates us all of us equal. He creates all of us with the abilities He desires for us to have. Someone would say, well, how fair is it that this child over here gets raised in this home with the abuse and this and that? God's not abusing them. It's the world we live in. But He's there to pick up the pieces. See, God didn't put us on earth to be puppets. If He wanted to be a puppet master and us to be puppets, then there wouldn't be anything wrong anywhere. But He gave us this thing called a free will, and we have it. And because of that, societies do what they're going to do. But what it does then, it challenges you and I to say, you know what, I've said my God it together here. I don't hold that to myself. I don't pin myself up on my pinnacle and say how great I have it. No, we get right down into the masses, and we help them. We pull them out of the darkness, out of the despair, out of the loneliness. And you work with those kids. You be there for them. You be that bright spot in their life. And if you know, you think about it, Terry, if all the responsible adults you know, and I know a lot of them, and even young people, a lot of young people, thought of one person today that needed them and decided to invest time in them, can you imagine the impact? But see, we get so caught up in, I want to go here, I want to go there, me, me, me. We live in such a narcissistic society today. Yeah, I'd love to do that as long as it doesn't affect my time. You know, churches are closing at an alarming rate because of lack of attendance, lack of funding. It used to be that people felt that they had a responsibility to God and to their church to help support it and keep it going. In many cases today, the church is the last thing after everything else. If they got anything left, that's where it's going to go. And I don't believe that we should be building great cathedrals and monuments to ourselves in the church. I don't think there's any example of that in the New Testament church. Certainly Solomon had a wonderful place in the Old Testament. But at the time, too, God was trying to show the pagan world that the people of Israel were his people. The Hebrew people were his people, and that he was a powerful God. But in the New Testament, I don't see these examples of some of the lavish lifestyles that we'll see. And it's so easy when a Christian leader falls. Man, the media is all over it. We have an interesting media, don't we? They pick and choose an agenda, and they follow it wherever. Not necessarily this media. You guys are great. You have what a mix you have on here. But, you know, in so many cases, I look at I'll give you a good example of that. You know, when they had all the kids walk out of school to protest guns, the media covered that for 3-4 solid days. Heavy. Well, the next week, they had a walkout from the same school that started it with a gun walk out, and it was a young man that started the whole thing. They had 400 schools participate in something like 60 or 70 colleges, and they were walking out to protest abortion. They were walking out for rights of children, and I never saw it on the news. Did you? 400 high schools. I forget, 60, 70, 80 colleges, something like that. Did you see it on the news, Terry? Now, I don't believe you can't say that they don't have an agenda. I mean, they do. And if it fits, it fits. But I miss, you know what I miss? I miss the old Walter Cronkites. I happen to know what his politics were, and probably so do you. But you don't know what on the news did. Do you know why? Because he reported the news. And he knew you were smart enough to make up your mind. And today, we seem to have an agenda out there. I don't care what state. I mean, there are stations that lean different directions. But it seems like they don't trust you with the straight news. They've got to slant it to try and convince you to go their way. Because they're afraid if they just put it out there, you're not smart enough to think to deal with it yourself. Or for whatever other reason.
It's the old term, they try to insult your intelligence.
They really do. And just give me the straight news.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Hey, if you did it, you did it. If you didn't, you didn't. You know, give me, if so-and-so's this way or that way, well, just give me the facts. Who was it to say, ma'am, just go, that was Sergeant Friday, Joe Friday.
Yeah.
Just the facts, ma'am, yeah, ma'am, just give me the facts. And
is that asking too much? I mean,
yeah, I guess I'm kind of chasing rabbits here. But you know, the thing is, we our society as a whole is a lot more equal than people could ever imagine. I see your poster of Flippo over there. I remember Flippo as a clown as a kid, you know. And something about Flippo, it didn't matter whether you were rich, poor, every kid loved him and wanted to watch him. You know what I mean? This division we've got in today is difficult. You know, Terry, I can honestly say this. I can ask this question in a group of people and I won't get the same answer, because half of them will lie. But the question is this. Would you really like somebody to love you? And without a doubt, everyone in the bottom of their heart wants someone to love them. Do you want people to care about you? Absolutely. Do you care about other people? Yeah, you really do. Then you got to ask a question. How many of you have put up a wall to keep from being hurt? Another huge percentage. The truth is, if we would just tear down some of these walls, and if those of us that had the ability to nurture would do it. Man, I'll tell you what, there shouldn't be a child left behind. Should there? I mean, there really shouldn't. I know we've had programs that call that, and they're talking about education and feeding. I'm not talking about that. Not that, that stuff isn't critically important, and we need to take part in that. But how about emotionally, spiritually? Build those kids up. Not every kid can swing a bat. Not every kid can shoot a hoop. Not every girl can cheerlead. Not every kid's going to be on the debate team or the chess team. But there's something of intrinsic value in that child that we can find and help them with it.
I think a lot of times, too, and I don't want to use the word responsibility, but really we should try to pull that out of that child. You know, I mean, that whatever,
absolutely,
that, whatever that ability
it
is.
It isn't just going to come to the surface. He isn't just going to say, hey, here it is.
Right.
You've got to, first of all, in many cases with these kids, you have to get them to trust you enough to even begin to peel back some layers and to show you what's in there and where they've been.
Yeah.
But it happens through sincerity. It happens through trust. It happens through parents that will allow it, for one. I know we've had kids come to church groups before and from difficult families, and the kids will start really excelling and doing well a period of time, and then they go home and they get, oh, so you think you're Mr. such and such now that you're going, don't you give me that attitude. You're not going back there. You know, and it's, look, Mom and Dad, I got to tell you something. If you're in the worst place in the world, if you're an alcoholic, if you're an addict, if you have the worst self-esteem in the world, if your child comes home and they're doing well, please don't ridicule them for it. Thank God that wherever it came from or whoever's helping them, that they're doing it. And until that day when you can get on your feet and turn your life around, you need to be thankful that someone else is. Don't be jealous of them. See, it's easy for me to say that. But because there's not a parent out there that in their heart doesn't want to do right by their child. It's just that so many of them are so weak and they've fallen down and they have addictions, things that are overriding so hard that they just can't do it. And I realize that in society. I don't think that a lot of people in mainstream America that are not in the trenches understand the pull of addiction and what it does to people and families. Oh, why don't you just put the stuff down and not do it? It's not that easy, is it, Terry? And so sometimes we have to.
I had a nephew pass away from addiction, so I believe me.
You understand?
Yeah,
yes.
Yeah, yeah.
I've had several close to me, and you know the thing is, you and I need to be that bridge. We need to stand in the gap, because you've got kids over here that need the life over here. And there's got to be a bridge there, and we need to stand in that gap.
That's what I was going to say. It seems like it's always hard to get to that other side, you know, for some reason. And like you said, that's a perfect analogy. You know, something to get them from here, mm-hmm. you know, to here. That gap or that or something, you know, to, yeah.
And the church needs to bridge that gap. You know, in a lot of ways, churches need to quit isolating themselves. You know, you don't go to church. You are the church. We are the church. You know, the Bible tells us the church is the body of Christ. They're those members, those people that follow Jesus Christ. So therefore, we are the church. We're out in our communities. We're everywhere else. We come to a building where we worship together as the church.
That you hit the nail right on the head. I see that a lot of times, that a lot of people think that once they leave the church, well, I'm done. You know, that's, I've contributed my whatever, you know, I've gave my 2 hours or whatever, and it's over. But what they don't realize is that, like you say, outside, you know, they need to continue that, you mm-hmm. know. And
all they did is come to worship in school for an hour. you know, till you learn to drive, you know. You don't, it's like anything else. I mean, you go somewhere to learn, to grow, to do things, but then you get out in the world and you put it to use. Mm-hmm. You know, when we get out in the world, we're supposed to put the church to use and be the church. And too many times we're not being the church. You see that when it becomes too organizational, too led by people that have to have a particular position. And
Well, the thing that I've noticed a lot, and I don't know how it works at your church, but I've seen it a lot, is a lot of people use church as a vehicle to be seen by, like they want to be seen.
Mm-hmm.
So maybe their friends go there who are prominent, let's say, in the community or something. So they think they have to go, you know, just because they want to be, you know, seen.
I know years ago.
Which is not the right way.
No.
You know.
Years ago, I was, as a young man, I started selling life insurance and annuities for a second job. And when one of the managers found out that I was active in church, he said, "Fantastic. That's a perfect place to get people." And I said, "You don't get it. You know, I'm not doing that." And then another time I had a guy actually come to my church under pretenses of coming to work with youth and things. And the truth was he was moving into another area from a sparse area that he wanted to peddle his wares. And I had to do, so, yeah, you're right. People do that. But, you know, something else you think about, Terry, is that, you know, you know, as far as wanting to be seen, come as you are. You know, look respectable, dress not. If you have it, wear it. If you don't. You don't have to. You know, I don't think that the disciples were going from town to town dressed like the Pharisees. I really don't. I know they weren't. You and I both know they weren't, if you know history at all. And Jesus certainly didn't. I understand the wanting to give God your best. But here's the deal. If I'm wearing a three-piece suit and I'm dressed to the tens, or whatever they are, and I walk into church and I say, "Well, I'm dressed like this because I'm giving God my best," but then I'm not reaching out to the poor, and I'm not loving people, and I'm not building that bridge in the gap, I'm not giving God my best. I'm showing off, and I'm not giving him stink.
And that's, I've seen that.
To put it bluntly.
Right, I've seen that as well, too, you know.
And that's where we got to understand that, you know, if you want to wear the suit and tie, fine, but you better have that heart pumping, too. And I'd much rather have someone in my church that showed up in blue jeans and a clean white T-shirt every week and was down there in the trenches than somebody that looked like they were a minister and weren't doing a darn thing. And that's just me, and that's our church. And that's what I love about our church is you come to our church, man, it looks like a Heinz 57. It looks like you just walked in the dog pound. But no, really, we're just not. You know, it's I like to change things up at church. I don't like to keep the same order all the time. I don't want people stuck in a rut. You know, we're to be active. We are to be the church. And I don't think that you can, it's so easy to get stuck in a religious rut. You know, Christianity is not religious, is not religion. Christianity is a relationship with Jesus Christ. Religion is following certain practices and principles that people do to look like they have the relationship. See the difference?
Is it a mindset, too, maybe? I mean,
it's a huge mindset. Yeah. And I think, see, that's part of it, and boy, we're running out of time here, but that's part of it, is getting back to being in the Word of God and studying the Word of God so you begin to build that relationship, and then that mindset comes, and you begin to realize, hey, this is relationship. You know, this is not, you know, something I just go do and put on my religious hat for the day. And you begin to grow, and it's really neat. But I know we are about out of time. I do encourage all of you to find a local church. Again, we're at 209 East Water Street in Prospect. And our service times are, we have Sunday morning Sunday school, as it's traditionally called, at 9:30. For all age groups at 9:30 in the morning. And then our service is at 10:30. And we have an evening service at 6:30. Youth group at 6:30 also. We have our third Thursday of every month. There's the team kid at 6:30. Just bring them and drop them off and come back and get them. Maybe give mom and dad a few minutes alone. But we'd be glad to have them. And like I said, we've got several things going on, and we are a very welcoming, warm, loving church, and I don't think we've ever been accused of being cold, so I'd encourage you to come. You can look at us at prospectsccf.com. Again, I am Pastor Steve Whitaker. And Terry, I appreciate tonight again. And I know I kind of rambled and chased some rabbits tonight, but that's just kind of where it went.
Yeah.
And next week we'll have.
I think it's a good discussion still. I mean, and it was a discussion that was needed. I think.
Yeah. I think so. And yeah. And certainly I'm a pastor, so that's the perspective I'm coming from. Absolutely. Is from God.
Well, you said that from day one.
From day one, and that's what you're going to get. So anyway, you have a blessed week, and all of you, please out there, have a great week. Tell someone around you that you love them. Reach out to someone that's hurting and tell them you're proud of them. You know, let's start tomorrow off right and see what we can do with the rest of this week. We also have Wednesday night Bible study at 6:30 at church, so just stop in. We'd love to see you. Terry, God bless and have a good week.
Thank you.
WWGH Radio 107.5.